We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome, good morning, and yeah, we got a lot to get to. The NBA draft right around the corner, as we hope everybody. We got dry day today, by the way. Are we in good shape?
I don't know.
We got a good half a day in yesterday.
We did.
By the way, terrible, terrible reporting by Hollywood yesterday.
80% he said yesterday.
We got a afternoon during lunch. Clear skies out there playing tennis, man. It was good yesterday, so not bad at all. So we did get something in. Well, we start with this one today, and I'm probably the wrong guy to do this, but Tim Reynolds last night said Hassan Whiteside is opted in, which is no
surprise.
Yeah, $27.1 million last year of his contract. Of course he was. And he said, and oh, by the way, he's asked for a trade. So I want the $27 million, but I want to be traded. So can you get, for a backup center that averages 12 points, 11 rebounds, can you get somebody who, it's obvious the relationship is done here. Hey, if he's motivated, I don't doubt at 30, I think he's almost 30 years old now. I don't doubt that Hassan Whiteside can give you more if he's motivated. The problem is you don't see him always motivated.
That's a huge problem.
And so I don't know how the rest of the league feels about him. I'm not going to act like I do, but it is time to move on. This relationship is over. This thing with Pat Riley saying, I'm going to talk to Eric Spoelstra and help him teach and help him to coach him up is the dumbest thing. And a slap in the face to Eric Spoelstra was stupid. One of the dumbest things, and I know Pat's getting older, and I love Pat, but really a dumb thing for Pat to come out and justify the contract by saying, you know, I got a lot of work with big guys, and you know, I can get more out of them. Okay, Pat. Anyway, Eric Spoelstra is a head coach. He's been around a while. He doesn't want him around.
No, he doesn't.
And you're not getting rid of Eric Spoelstra.
No.
He's not going anywhere. And so if you can move him, I think he'd be gone by now.
Hasn't that been the thing? I know that there's
a reports out. They would have dumped him last year. Like,
anyone that would have offered a bag of chips last year and enough salary and picked up that deal, I'm thinking that he would have taken that in a second. This is not a guy last year that they even depended on at the end for a playoff run. He was not in. What did he average? 20 minutes, 22 minutes a game? It was Bam. Bam's the center on this team. Can't make free throws. No energy. Come on.
If you can't make free throws, it's hard to play somebody in close ball games at the end.
Unless you're Shaq, and you're gonna get 30 points anyway.
Shaq got real bad with Shaq, and was another way. Remember, they started the hack of Shaq to catch back up after.
But at least before that, he'd give you 30 and 15. You know
right,
what I mean? Like,
right.
Like we're talking about Shaq, a Hall of Fame center, and a son. But what I'm
example.
Saying is, that's the kind of guy you have to be to miss a couple free throws at the end and still play. Hassan just didn't give you that. He gave you some moments where it was like, holy moly, that guy just got 22 points and 21 rebounds. He's a monster.
Well, he'd have quarters even last year. Yeah, he was a great tease. He'd come out and go first quarter and have 7-8 rebounds and
10 points.
Seven points. And then, you know, and again, I don't know. Maybe some of you think this is on Eric Spoelstra, didn't get more out of him. But it's obvious. I think that almost everybody and even people listening have to admit Bam is upside, his work ethic, his passion, his energy that he plays with is the future here. And one of the guys they want to build this thing around. And if Hassan, I don't know if Charlotte, he talked about wanting to go to Charlotte, and Charlotte might be interested in him, and he could go back home. I don't know if that's the case. Doesn't seem to be a Michael Jordan kind of guy.
No.
But we'll see. Let me give you, by the way, speaking of that, besides the Hassan Whiteside thing, we'll get everybody's thought on Hassan Whiteside this morning and what you think of him from what you've seen. And we've seen the good and the bad. We've seen the pouting, and we've seen the half-ass effort, and we've seen a guy that looks like he's a top four or five center in the NBA. We've seen both literally quarter by quarter during last season and even going back the year before. My biggest summer basketball surprise so far is we get ready for the draft tomorrow, probably going to be trades today and tomorrow leading up to the draft. There's going to be some veterans thrown in for draft picks. And then, of course, free agency, which is going to be a lot of fun to watch and see what happens. Happened yesterday. I am shocked. And maybe it's just me. Al Horford, 33 years old, 13 points, 6 rebounds. By the way, nice role player. Don't get me wrong. At the right price, you'd love to have him because he does make guys around him. He gets the ball. There's nothing selfish about him. He plays hard, but he's 13 points and 6 rebounds a game. He opted out of his $30 million one last year of his contract with Boston. And I'm thinking, Al, maybe you know more about this than everybody else, and you and your agent are brilliant. Or, Zach, maybe this goes back to guys that are good players are going to get paid. I just don't know what's going to be out there where you would skip $30 million to stay on a team that's going to be pretty good.
His agent came out and said that there is a 4-year, $100 million deal for him out there from another team.
I have,
and that's why he's opting out.
I am shocked. Yeah. If Al Horford, 13 and 6 a game, gets $100 million, your agent is
amazing, right?
Is amazing.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Listen, man, that's a guy you got to go with if he can get that, because you're talking about a guy 33, he's going to be 38 years old or close to 38 years old.
In that last year,
at the end of that contract. Yeah, yeah. So,
making $30 million a year anyway, again. Yeah.
Man, so if you can get that.
Yeah, if it's out there, sure.
Then I get it, but I just look and go, why not go out and have a great year, get your $30 million, and then see what you can get after that. And short-term, 2 or 3 year deal. But maybe you're right. If there's
a 4-year, $100 million deal out there, his agent knows it, and he's going to be able to sign that thing, June 6th, I guess, July 1st, when everything goes there. Great. Good for him. Then go and do it. I find it hard to believe that there's a team out there that's got $100 million on the table, 25 a year on average, you know, probably 23, then 27, whatever it is, for him. And they think that he's going to be a centerpiece of a team going forward. He wasn't even the centerpiece on this team. He's kind of the, and I heard this so much, you know, last night and this morning, even on the radio this morning, he's a glue guy, like a locker room glue guy.
I get it.
But for $30 million a year, $25 million a year, I don't want a glue guy.
You got to give me more than a guy that's really good and I love young players play for him.
Yeah.
And he's had a really nice career. He ain't going to Hall of Fame or anything, but had a really nice career. He's really had some nice playoff games, and you can see what he did. By the way, 2 years ago, and he took all those young guys and played with them. I think we
saw. How good was that Boston team?
We just saw. Yeah. Now, that's a veteran guy that gets the most out of his guys, and he played at a high level during that time. But, man, for business, giving a 33-year-old guy a new contract?
4 years, too. $100 million.
So I don't know, man.
Maybe
guys are really taking better care of themselves. If you think you're going to get a guy 36, 35, 36, 37, that's not the greatest athlete in the world, where if he slows down a little bit like LeBron, he's still damn good, or Michael Jordan, he's still damn good at the end there.
He's a big dude. Those guys, their knees and everything kind of gives up when you get in the mid-30s.
So we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. But, yeah, listen, this basketball thing is the draft's tomorrow night. They're expecting some trades potentially today, tonight, and even tomorrow before the draft, because there's a lot of teams want to get rid of some first-round picks, get some veteran players. See what happens with Bradley Beal, Mike Conley, maybe even Kevin Love and guys like that looking to move and get good veteran players if you can afford their contracts and get first-round picks with this whole thing. We saw some guys try to move up yesterday. Atlanta tried to jump up on New York, and they said no. It's going to be fun, man. All this stuff that's going on.
What about the potential blow up in Houston?
Well, the Houston thing.
Isn't that a kind of weird one, too?
I just, Chris Paul's, of course, and now they're coming out saying it's not true. I don't know where this is coming from. Yeah, we've had disagreements, but it's not as bad. James Harden, Chris Paul, come on, everybody. Where's this come from? All I know is Chris Paul, next 3 years, it seems like all we do is talk about money now, right? Either money or somebody's pissed off and can't play together. $38.5 million this year, $41 million next year, and $44 million in the third year. That's a lot of money, speaking of the 33-year-old club, for a 33, going to be 34, 35,
no,
and 36.
Thank you.
And I don't know what he's like to play with. I know it blew up for him out in L.A., and he wanted out. And now it looks like it's not great with he and James Harden. And by the way, if they're going to get into a little, you know, peeing back and forth,
who can pee
the most there or the longest or whoever it might be, James Harden's going to win that every day of the week.
Not
He's
even
younger.
Close.
He averages 36, and he put that team on his back when Chris Paul. I can see this, like Chris Paul getting on him about his game, and you got to give up the ball more. You got to get guys more involved because that's a big topic. Like, James, nobody has the basketball more than James Harden.
No, you're right.
Nobody.
He dribbles the ball.
Now that Carmelo's
the
out of the game, nobody's got it more than him.
It's a great comparison.
So you have that, but I can see James Harden going, really, bro? You play 58 games, and you're going to tell me, like—
And I'm the two-time possible defending MVP. Like,
So let me get this right. You play 58 games, 58 games, amount of money you're making on this new contract, and you're getting on me for the way I play? Man, forget you, man.
Any more load management, he's going to be making $1 million a game for Chris Paul.
Right.
I mean, we talk about that in football. Oh, my God, this guy's getting $16 million. He's getting $1 million. Chris Paul's about to do that in the NBA.
Man. Yeah, the money is crazy and only getting better for all those guys. So anyway, yeah, that was the other one. Hey, last night, got to say this. This Jordan Yamamoto does it again last night. Just a hell of a story. He gets called up from Double-A baseball. He gets another shutout last night against St. Louis. 7 innings pitch, 7 strikeouts, just 2 hits, and gets his. He has no ERA. It's 2 outings. He's 2-0. He's pitched 14 innings and hasn't given up a run, and he's basically been their 7th pitcher with injury and stuff. So the pitching, young starting pitching, has been probably even better than Derek Jeter and Don Mattingly and everybody else thought it would
be.
Now,
sure,
they got some other problems on the team, obviously.
Well,
like,
I mean, yeah.
Guys that can hit. You know, they've been shut out 13 times this year. But what a hell of a story, man, for a guy that was kind of a throw-in deal in Milwaukee, and just great pitching.
We're going to win that Milwaukee trade, huh? Even though they got yelled?
I ain't getting carried away. That was the biggest
carried away statement I made in a long time.
Yeah.
You kidding me?
Yeah, yell it.
But give me something for
quietly
that.
Quietly still. So you got some other guys in that deal, and of course they're saying be patient, these deals. I hear their announcers every night, be patient, these deals will take time, but... Yamamoto, man, what a hell of a story, man, for a guy that's up. And I think he's in Urania's position, who's injured right now, and not bad. 14 innings, 0 runs so far. Just a great story. Yeah, not bad at all. We got all kinds of stuff coming up. We're going to be checking in the 7 o'clock hour. We got Paradise Camp coming up. We got all this news about the Canes and verbal commitments and what's next. And, of course, the Paradise Camp has been a big hit, something that Mark Richt started. And so we'll get into all that stuff. We've got Efren Banda going to join us coming up. We'll talk to him, the safeties coach for the Miami Hurricanes defense there, talk to see what he has to say. He's also a great recruiter and keeping all these verbal commitments. So we'll have all that stuff for you early 7 o'clock hour for all the Canes fans out there. Get into all that stuff. So a lot of stuff. Lot more to get to, including Aaron Rodgers not getting along, not off to a great start with his coach. And Bruce Arians said something a couple days ago about the running back position. We want to play that for you coming up as well. We'll get your thoughts on all that stuff. Stay with us. We're going to do a little TV. We'll be back in a moment.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Listen to live coverage of the NHL Draft on on the home of the Florida Panthers, AM 560 and 96.5 FM HD2 WQAM this Friday, beginning at 8 p.m., Saturday beginning at 1 p.m. Sponsored by Checkers Old Munch and German Restaurant, brats, Wiener Schnitzel, potato pancakes, pretzels with mustard, and much, much more. All Checkers Old Munch and German Restaurant in Pompano Beach. That's this weekend, the NHL Draft on the home of the Florida Panthers, AM 560.
All right. We are back here. A lot of news, a lot of stuff going on. The NBA is taking the show and will be now for the next couple of weeks. We're starting with the draft. Actually, starting even before the draft, I think some guys are going to be moving. Some first-round picks for veteran players for teams that think they're in really good shape, trying to add some players on there, and some teams trying to free up to get another star. Boy, the NBA's got it, man. This is just what the commissioner wanted. Like the NFL commissioner, you want to control as much outside of the season as you can. You want to be the story.
We just watched the parade. And now we're talking about trades
right
and free agency rights. Amazing.
Well, the guy that was that they're all chanting for is
going
to be one of the big stories. Of course, Kawhi Leonard, to see what he's going to do. But yeah, man, this is going to be fun to see what all these guys are going to do and who trades and who's happy and who's not. And we've had yesterday a couple of guys opt out of contracts, going for the bigger picture, trying to get one last big payday. So all this stuff's coming out. I just think it's now, you know, there's words and the Lakers are hustling to create max salary spot for a third guy. And
do
what
they
can
really
they
think
do?
That the Pelicans, though, are going to help them out? Like
there's
to
no
make
way.
More room. I mean, I understand what they're trying to do. It's literally the blueprint of what happened down here, except for the fact that all three guys were already set up and you just had to take a little bit less money and then you have to fill in the blanks.
No, it's really a completely different deal.
Well,
those guys all took less money.
Well, they are. You're right. And these guys, the money is crazy here, but they're trying to free up that third spot and now they're trying to buy second round. They're going to surrender. The difference is that when you got the big three together down here, you were able to get Udonis and Mike Miller, two pretty good pieces for that, to make that five, you know, to at least have your five. What's that five going to look like? Because they're going to have second-round picks. The Lakers are going to end up trying to buy three second-round picks coming up in this draft just to fill roster spots.
Yeah, no, the situation, though, like Chris Bosh came in, said, I'll take less money because LeBron's going to take less money. Dwayne's always taking less money. And that freed up money because those guys saw the big picture of we still need to pay some other guys on the team because we can't win this thing with just three guys.
No, you need more than that. How about the fact that, you know what one of the big roadblocks in this is Anthony Davis. He will not say no to the trade kicker. He's got a $4 million trade kicker that if he said, you know, I'm going to waive that because I'm going to get this max $200 million deal after the season coming up. If he waived that $4 million kicker, they could literally get rid of one more dude at the end of their bench, free up another $2 million, and have a max spot. He won't.
Well, we'll see. It's a bad look for him.
Horrible, right?
So I understand all these guys want to get as much as they can. And what I guess that's kind of what made the big three special. We look back on it because they still made a lot of money. So it wasn't like, oh, well, they're going to make their money
but
in
endorsements. But not what they should have, yes.
But you look now at today's players, and we'll find out, say, hey, I'm willing to play for less money because I'm going to see the big payday at the end of the year. Or hell no, I want that $4 million. I've already spent it or whatever. I'm curious. And the other part of that is I don't know why David Griffin and the Pelicans would help the Lakers in the West. Like,
why?
You know, we'll delay it so that we can help you guys out. Makes no sense. Somebody would have to offer me something stupid to do that. And basically, the Lakers are out of things to do. They just don't have anything except cash left. And so there's no way. Who the hell is going to help the Lakers?
Nobody.
I don't even think David Griffin coming in as a brand new guy with the Pelicans.
He's no dummy.
He's going to do that. But, hey, listen, this whole thing, man, all the unknown of what everybody's doing, we're going to find out what everybody's cards look like instead of all these rumors and speculation with all this stuff. We'll be able to get into all of it. Hey, a couple days ago, switching over to football and the offseason, it's a pretty interesting topic. Hollywood and I were talking about, and we disagree already on this one, and he asked me my thoughts. Tampa Bay head coach Bruce Arians was asked about the running backs and like, hey, you don't really have any running backs on this team. Here's what he had to say.
I like our backfield. I think it's okay backfield. There's not a David Johnson or a Todd Gurley, but you don't need one. We could buy one, though, right, if we want to. We can still get if they're on the market.
I mean, I don't overpay for that position. You know, that David Johnson came in as a rookie, lit it on fire. You just got to find the right guys to fit what you want to do.
Wow. Bruce Arians says you don't need to have the best back. And I agree with him. And I know Hollywood disagrees. I think Saquon Barkley's a different dude. I agree.
Come on.
But I think he's by himself. Nothing against Christian McCaffrey. Nothing against Elliott or any of those other guys. Whoever your favorite flavor of the strawberry, chocolate, vanilla flavor that you like the best. Outside of Barkley, who I think's clearly the best player. Matter of fact, he might be the best offensive player in football if we were to really break it down, what he did with the Giants last year. But outside of that, I agree with them.
To not overpay. That was, by the way, Bruce Arians on the Ira Kaufman podcast. I guess that position has taken a big dip in the last, you know what I mean, outside
of
getting
two top guys.
Well, outside of getting a Todd Gurley, a Saquon Barkley.
Who will never be the same again.
No, and look what happened with Gurley. Now it's almost like a mistake to give him all that money. And Saquon, who knows, Ezekiel's up for a big contract coming up. There's a couple of these dudes that are going to look for these big deals, but
they've run Elliot right into the ground over the last couple of years.
And that's
carries.
What happens 4 or 5 years why, into these guys' career. They're done.
You go give him all that money for a guy who I don't think Elliott's the best running back. I don't think he's the second or third best running back because he's a limited pass receiver, good back, but he's not explosive back that's going to go take it 60 yards to the house like
but
Barkley.
Unless you have a Barkley or someone like that,
or
you
Gurley's
don't care about
another, another sprinter that could outrun everybody.
Okay. But so you agree with Bruce by saying if you don't have like a Saquon on your team and you didn't draft him, don't overpay for the guy.
Correct.
I'm not going to have. Know. I think I want a really good running back.
I'm buying in.
I mean, I'm with Zach on this. You know that. But I think the top 4 or 5 guys are absolute game changers.
Yeah.
I know you're throwing in the towel on Todd Gurley. And I know that he's had the knee issues throughout the offseason here. But if he comes back healthy, I mean, that guy is as good as there is. And he's a game-changing type of player.
Yeah, but he carried and did so much for a year and a half.
That he's kind of breaking
look
down.
Look at the difference Le'Veon Bell will make on the Jets. And Le'Veon Bell is a complete game-changing type
player. How
do
you know a Le'Veon Bell who's been out of football? He took a year off over money.
Well, I mean, he didn't forget how to play.
No.
And he didn't go play in a league somewhere else and take a beating.
I get it. I got to see it.
You don't think a guy like that changes the game completely for your offense?
I think he's really good because he can do a lot of things. No question on first, second, and third down. But I'd rather... Instead of some of these guys, I'm really excited to see what's going to happen with Kenyon Drake and Ballage, Kalen Ballage.
Okay.
And
those are two pretty good players,
big guys.
Right.
Well, we haven't seen a lot of Ballage. We saw him run 70 yards and outrun everybody.
No, great tease. Oh, great tease last year. You're right.
So we got to see more of him. Kenyon Drake, when he plays, he played limited football and had 9 touchdowns last year. Like, I think Kenyon Drake's really good. That's just me. Really good. And by the way, breaks as many big plays
as anybody. He's a game changer. I agree.
Every time you turn around, you know, he gets stuffed, he runs 45 yards. So
But there's a reason in the last 10 years only a handful of guys were taken in the first round. Like, I'm talking about, like, the top picks.
I think the 4 best backs in football are all first-round picks.
Gurley, Barkley, you know, even Elliott. Ezekiel Elliott. Yeah, and you know, I mean.
And McCaffrey.
McCaffrey's
got to be in there now. I think McCaffrey's one of the best, if not the best, pass-receiving running back. I mean, I've seen that show. He is so quick. By the way, we watched him warm up, and I went,
no, okay. He's a special player. He's a special player.
He's good.
But Bruce is right about one thing. If you get lucky in the 4th, 5th, 6th, or 7th round, and you draft like a David Johnson, like, that's just out of pure luck. That's why drafting one or two running back every year, you know, somewhere in the draft.
So what happened to him last year? I know what
it is.
I think
he was injured, and the offensive line sucked.
His offensive line was bad.
It was bad.
So he's back.
Yeah.
So if your offensive line isn't good, what happened to Gurley when his career first started? I remember we played him. He averaged 3 yards a carry, and you're like
2.9 or something.
What happened to Gurley? And you're like, oh. The offensive scheme's terrible, and second of all, the offensive line's bad. So
you overpay. That's why Ezekiel Elliott had that monster year a couple of years ago because they had, 5 first-round picks on that offensive line in Dallas. They invested a lot of money.
That's every position. Like, you're in a bad wide receiver numbers if you have a terrible line.
Or a terrible quarterback.
Your quarterback's going to have bad numbers. Your receiver, like your whole offense have bad numbers if you have a bad line. So
I just
like,
think a lot, but, just a credit No, but I think a lot of this does have to do with your offensive line.
Well, of course.
So if,
but you can't
if you
just
don't,
say if you have a good offensive line, you can throw any stiff back there and he's going to be Todd Gurley.
You want to look at some
those
of the other
backs?
Those
guys are different. Guys are different.
There were 9 guys who went for 1,000 yards. Look at some of them and tell me. They're just, they're guys. I mean, they're not all first-round picks. There's some guys in there that I just think you can get other backs. I'm with everybody else. First of all, the days of the one back playing all 3 downs and playing the whole game.
Emmitt and Barry days are done. That's basically.
McCaffrey still does it.
Yeah.
I want to give him credit. And the rookie out of with the Giants, he's special.
It's
he's
slim pickings. That's what it is with those.
There's not
guys.
A lot of guys.
Oh, he's amazing.
Because sooner or later, your body jumping and hitting, and no matter what you're built like, you're going against the best tacklers in the world. And sometimes you can't control side hits, and guy last second goes low on you, your leg gets planted. I'm all for this rotation. I know, by the way, Kenyon Drake's dying to be that featured back like he got to do for the last third of a season 2 years ago. But I get why I want those guys both fresh at the end of the year. I'm giving them less targets, less carries, and doing a 2-man rotation. I think the days of 300 carries and another 50 or 60 targets.
Ricky, well, the NFL's
I call
being
it the
built-
Ricky Williams.
Yeah. Oh, no, stop.
It's
stop.
Just getting to be more yeah. now. Just get 2 guys in there, get a 3rd guy just in case somebody goes down, because so many of those guys, they just take a beating in there. I just don't totally disagree with Bruce Arians. If you got a good offensive line, all of a sudden, we don't talk enough about good offensive lines, and we get too much caught up in, well, this back's only averaging 3 yards. You're going, yeah, he's averaging 3 yards a carry because there's nowhere to run.
Yeah.
Every guy's getting stuffed or whiffing on blocks.
Unfortunately, I had to watch some Arizona games last year because David Johnson was on my fantasy team, and it was really rough to watch.
Yeah, but they literally were picking up offensive linemen.
No, it was terrible.
They're
terrible.
Like, oh, you've been out of football for 2 years. Come over here.
Come
we
play.
Need you, man.
Yep, we need a
and
guard.
Oh, by the way, you're not active. You're starting in this game.
But wouldn't you rather have a top dog than have a 2-man rotation? Wouldn't you rather have... Like, if you had the option, I know that, you know, down
well,
here.
In a perfect world, I want a good offensive line, and then you can go out and
okay,
and you can get a young girly who can do it all when he's healthy.
Find a guy to do it.
But
I guess if you gave me the option of having a really good offensive line.
I want to, from all you fantasy football heads
yeah,
out there.
And that's
there,
what it comes to.
I'm going to find out how you feel about Todd Gurley this year and see how high a pick he goes.
Where do you think, I'll even ask you this. Hollywood, where do you think Gurley goes?
I think he has to go late first, right?
Late first?
He's going to be a first. Yeah, but he was the number one overall pick last year.
I mean, the guy's
yeah.
numbers are just too good to ignore, but there is a risk
yes.
with the injury there. But, you know, it's funny, like a texture text in, like, who are the running backs on the Patriots? They actually have really good running backs.
What do you mean?
In my opinion on the Patriots. You don't think Sony Michel's good?
Sony Michel went at the end of the
James
he's
White.
A first round guy.
Got banged up. But
you don't think he's good? I mean, James White, I think, is exceptional at that position.
James White wasn't. He's just. A guy
but he's a really thing. Good pass catching running back.
Right.
But put up one guy.
But that's an example. You should stay out of that example, unless you're now all of a sudden you're gonna tell me all the New England backs are great. Anybody
but they took
could
a first round
him.
Running back too.
Huh?
They took a first round running back as well.
At the end of the
Sony
first
was
round.
What,
by the way, he wasn't
31.
Their first first round pick taken in that case. You didn't know. They took a lineman and got injured, but that's a great example of the New England way. He gets 3 or 4 backs. No matter who you
Rex
are,
Burkhead
if you
was on that
fumble,
team too.
Who's a big part of it at the end of the year.
Yeah.
James White has got his role as a pass receiving, sometimes gets a few delayed draws there on 3rd down and gets you 1st down. Very good player, man. Don't get me wrong. But James White, my old neighbor, is like anybody could have had him.
Okay. You're right. You're right about that. Because
so
it goes back to...
I look
to,
at all their backs, and I'm just telling everybody to calm down
New England's
a, bit.
A bad example because of the fact that they use 3 guys, and any given day, one of those guys could have 100 yards receiving or 100 yards rushing in a game.
Nobody keeps more running backs on a roster.
Or gets rid of them when they need to.
And then if you fumble or you're late for a meeting, you go from 1 to 5. You drop down, then you may get cut.
Yeah, with all this said, I go back to fantasy again. The number one pick in the draft fantasy this year is who, Hollywood?
Saquon.
Saquon Barkley. Not
gotta
even a question.
Be.
Not even a question.
And McCaffrey, by the way, he's got to move up.
He's got to be up there, too, in the top 5.
Guy had almost 2,000 total yards.
It's amazing how we go back to fantasy for all
this. I'm guessing Le'Veon Bell.
He's got to be up there, too.
He's got to be maybe two.
Yeah, probably.
And then the other part of that, let me just throw this out.
That's your top three picks in the draft right there,
I got nothing against Le'Veon, but he doesn't have Big Ben throwing to him.
No.
He got Sam Darnold throwing to him. You can go back and say whatever you want. And
a lot easier to take Le'Veon Bell one overall 2 years ago with Big Ben there. You're right.
Well, I don't trust him, and I don't trust Gase either. That's the other problem. Like, you don't know what Adam Gase is. Like, Adam Gase should get angry with the guy and throw him off the team. Right. You have no idea.
Le'Veon's traded by week six.
He's going to be working on that relationship for sure.
He already is. You don't see the mic'd up Gase talking to, come on.
He definitely. All right, so anyway, So if you get... I guess there's a couple of those guys in the first round that you love. But.
Well, if you don't have Saquon, if you don't have Todd Gurley, if you don't have Christian McCaffrey, if you don't have Ezekiel Elliott on your team, you're going with a two or three back rotation. Like, if you don't have one of those top three or four guys, that's just the way of the NFL now. But if you have Ezekiel Elliott, you're really not worried that much about that position. If you have Saquon, you're not worried that much. But if a guy like that gets hurt, your offense is done.
I just wish you had one of those guys on your team. I think they're game-changing type of players. Look at Ricky Williams. We had him down here.
Yeah, that's different, though.
I mean,
Ricky was nuts.
It's a game-changing type of thing.
Dave ran that guy into a tent in India.
He did have two really, really good years.
Two amazing years.
Then he, what normal, what happened with him.
He got beat up. He took 800 carries in 2 years.
Yeah, whatever. I think he had more problems just getting beat up at that point.
It was a good excuse to go smoke pot in India.
Yeah, no. He's in the Mary Jane. He's in the Mary Jane business now. Yeah. All right, we got to go to break here. We're always running a little bit late here on the show because that's what we usually do. But since our program director didn't listen to the show, we're fine.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Hey, welcome back, and good morning to everybody. One day before the NBA draft, we'll have Ira Winderman join us in the show in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll talk to him.
He's going to be a busy man breaking down what's that 13.
Yeah,
what the nothing else going on with the Heat.
Might do with that 13th pick, and can they move any veterans?
I just want Ira to say that they've already gotten three phone calls about Hassan Whiteside. Just make my day better. Because my guess is right now, if you check the phone record, you know on your phone you can see recent calls. If you check Pat's, it's going to be from his wife, maybe his buddy out in in Malibu talking about the maintenance on the house, but not from any other GMs about Hassan.
Well, it is interesting because he opted in to his last year of his contract, which is no surprise. You'd be a dumbass being a backup center. Making $27 million, of course he's going to take that. I got a good agent smart enough to tell Hassan, I don't know what you think the open market looks like, but nobody else going to pay you $27 million.
No
chance.
He's
taking that, but he did mention, if you're just joining us, he wants to be traded. So I want my 27. I'm opting in, but can you please get me the hell out of Miami? I want to go someplace where I can start. Bam's going to start. I want to be a starter. I know I can play. I want to get, and it's really obvious, and it has been, I'm going to say for basically 2 years, Eric Spoelstra, no matter what Eric says, no matter what anybody else says, Eric Spoelstra does not want Hassan Whiteside on this team. By the way, he plays him, by when he sits, how quickly he's pulled him out of games. He doesn't want him. Right? He gets the good Hassan when he's energized and he plays smart and he fits in with the rotations defensively, but a lot of times he doesn't. And I don't know what happens. I don't know if ADD kicks in.
He mopes.
The moping
is the biggest thing for me.
He was pretty good last year, though, when he got, understanding, like, all right, this is the way I'm going to be used. I'll make the best of it. I thought he did a pretty good job with it. But I, after coming back from his injury, find out he was going to be the backup center the rest of the year. I don't know. Hey, maybe they can move him. I'm not going to be surprised by anything. There's a lot of guys wanting to be traded. I mean, some guys get traded. Does Hassan Whiteside get in there? I know a lot of people believe that Pat Riley would love to move a couple of veteran players if he can. Deion Waiters has got to be on that list, right? And James Johnson's got to be sure. on that list if you can get him. You
two
know,
summers ago,
nose.
That was a big mistake. There's your three or four guys right
so,
there.
So those two guys, and Hassan Whiteside just makes so much money, I don't know what you could get. So anyway, that's where we are. But Hassan did come out, and Tim Reynolds had the story, who does a nice job and hangs with that team, is real close to a lot of guys on that team. Coming out saying that he's going to opt in, which we all knew, and wants to trade. Let me just add, and I also want to be traded.
Well, I want to win the lottery. It doesn't mean that's going to end up happening.
And meanwhile, we got a lot of people going, man, we hope we can trade you too, Hassan. Yeah. We finally agree on something. You want to be traded, and we want your ass out of here.
I'll tell you what, Hassan, tell your agent to call every team, 29 other teams around the league, and find a trade for Pat Riley.
I think that's already been worked
just
on.
Just do
Zach.
It. Zach, I want to hear it from Tim Reynolds later today.
I am sure
that there's a trade in place for a second-round pick for Hassan Whiteside.
That agent has done all his due diligence and gone around the league and knows who needs centers. And problem is, nobody wants to give a backup center or part-time center $27 million. Nobody.
We got to hope
who
that,
can't shoot free throws.
That Kemba tells Mike, stay, but I want Hassan.
What did he end
also?
Up shooting free throws? Did he get up to 50%? It was in the 40s there.
I mean, he's untradeable. Maybe his agent should let him know that.
He won't.
Is that the worst signing in the history of this town, by the way? Oof. Any team?
It's got to be
it's
close.
Got to be right up there, right?
Got to be close.
For new contracts?
Yeah,
I think he's absolutely untradeable. 40, unless the Heat get 45%, hosed in the
deal. By the way, from the 45. Free throw. Yeah.
Like the Heat are going to get screwed in a trade.
Yeah, of course. But you have to. You have to wipe the slate clean. You have to try to get rid of these contracts and wipe the slate clean. And it starts with Hassan. The problem is there's no one stupid out there. No one wants $27 million Hassan Whiteside next year unless you're going to give up a bad. Do you want the Heat to take a 2-year bad contract? Is that what we want to get rid of him? Is that how bad we want to get rid of this guy?
Let me just add this, too. This has been a weird part. And for the most part, Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra have been on the same page. Pat hired, groomed him from video up to being a coach and a really good NBA coach. So those guys, obviously, Spoelstra has great respect and appreciation for what Pat Riley's done for his career, right? He's a Heat guy. But Pat Riley did something. People haven't talked much about it. Pat Riley came out when he did his press conference and said, I can coach and get more out of Hassan Whiteside. I can help Eric Spoelstra, which to me is one of the greatest slap in the face of all time for a guy that's now won a couple of championships. Whatever you think of Eric, I think he's really well respected in the NBA. I think if you let him go, he'd get a job in a heartbeat somewhere else.
By tomorrow,
I think so.
If there's an opening, yes.
Now, some of you, no matter what, don't like coaches and don't like Eric Spoelstra. But I thought that was a real, real slap in the face. Like, Spoelstra had to see that no matter how much you like, it's Pat, he can do whatever. He's in his mid-70s and say whatever he wants. That was, like, you don't do that. You don't come out and like, Pat, hey, I'm going to help Eric. I want to teach him and coach him and help him out on big guys. I can work and get more out of Hassan Whiteside. Pat, part of this is effort. Part of this has been effort and playing smart and knowing what your job is and when to leave your man and all those things to make him even better defensively. I get that he's got talent. Listen, you didn't just give him that $100 million contract because you thought he was 7 foot and you need a 7-footer, so let's take stupid pills and overpay for him. They thought he was going to be 18 and 15 a game. They thought that. And obviously, if it's a clean, hard work in 18 and 15, you take it. But, boy, Eric Spoelstra got turned off by this guy. So can you imagine some stuff we don't know happened?
You're right.
For Eric to just absolutely
give up on a guy.
Give up on a 7-foot guy. He's got soft hands, blocked shots. He does some good things. Listen, like I said, he does some good things.
But he's regressed as a player in the last 2 years.
Yes, to the point they made him a backup.
Yes. A $27 million backup.
He's not a bad player. He's just mentally weak or fragile or whatever you want to call him.
But that makes you a bad player.
I just think
he's got all the skills in the world, right?
Like, I think.
I mean, we've seen that. You don't put up 20 and 20 in an NBA game if you're stiff.
I agree.
Right.
I'm not disagreeing. He's had some big games with blocked shots. Hell, he's had some great quarters. He's had some of the great. Nobody keeps track of great quarters because it's about winning games and stuff, but he's done some amazing things, but I do agree with you guys that sometimes he thinks he's 15 years old and a sophomore in high school somewhere.
And he's not. He's 30.
And it's not entirely his fault. Like, he should be playing at the end of some of these games. Like, if you know you're a $100 million guy and you're sitting on the bench every single fourth quarter.
Well, let me ask
you. There's a little give and take on this. It's not all on him.
In close games, can you play a guy that shoots 45% from the free throw line?
You can't. They're going to foul you every time.
But you need to find a way to utilize this guy in the fourth quarter, in the second half of games. You can't just have him riding the bench the entire game.
He is one guy that seems like he has to earn how many minutes he's going to get. Like, he's got to get off to a good start. He's got to play well. Where Spo goes, okay, it's going to be you're getting 30 minutes tonight.
32.6, 25.3, 23.3, his last 3 years in minutes. Steadily declined from a 33-minute guy to a 23-minute guy.
Yeah. Wouldn't you love to hear those conversations with Eric and Pat
Those
Riley
lunches?
When they're sitting there together, and maybe Andy's sitting there, and they're all just kind of talking. This must be like, are we going to have this conversation again?
Well, how many times can you have that conversation? That's the problem. You either deal with him for one more year and just get him out of here, or you find someone stupid to take that trade and say, we'll take your one-year deal. Here's your bad one-year contract. Here's ours.
They are trying to get him out.
They have
there
to.
Is no question. They've been trying no matter what Pat says, and he's going to work with them and go put his shorts on again and go out there and work with them. And I just think it's more than Pat helping him with the fundamentals.
It's more than that.
Yeah. I nothing against Pat, and I know Pat feels strongly that he's still got great abilities to get out there and help young guys, but Pat,
stop.
The comment was about you wanting to help Eric.
And I do agree with Hollywood.
I would leave that alone.
It's the worst deal Pat's ever signed. It's the worst one.
That got me thinking.
It's the worst one.
All right. Well, we got 7 o'clock hour. And we're going to try to be better in a 7 o'clock hour than we were in a 6 o'clock hour. We got a lot more stuff to get to.
Are you requesting a trade?
That was the worst hour of all time, you saying?
Mm. No. I didn't think it was a bad hour.
No, it was bad.
Aaron Rodgers, by the way, said, hey, Matt LaFleur, let me just say something. I know you're new. I know you're a new young guy. I think you're a coordinator like 1 year. Another one of these young guys that has been with really good coaches in the past. But do you know who I am? And do you know the experience and success I've had? I've seen everything, and I'm pretty damn good. Your system ain't working for me right now. Boy, that's going to be an interesting one. Seems like part of the themes these days is we just can't all get along. Kind of like radio. We just can't all get along. We got to take a quick break. We'll be back for 7 o'clock hour right after this.
Radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.